Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Yesterday, I began a message which I've entitled Experiencing the Rest of God, and we shared Hebrews, from the fourth chapter, from verse 1 all the way through verse 12. And I won't read that in entirety again, but in verse 5 it says, "And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Listen closely. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." We're going to be looking at what does that mean? "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his," referencing the seventh day, the Sabbath day when God rested from his works. "Let us labor." This seems a contradiction in term. "Let us there labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." We have to believe what the Word is saying. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So, we've just heard Scripture telling us God wants us to enter into a rest. Verse 3 tells us, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." At the very beginning, when we made that decision to believe in Jesus, we invited him into our hearts and lives, making him not only Savior, but Lord, then we have entered into the rest that comes having peace with God. At any point thereafter, if we die, we know we are going to heaven. We're going to see the Lord whom we have confessed and whom we have served. And we've never reached a place of perfection in this life. We're always learning. It doesn't matter how long you may have walked with the Lord. There's so many more things to learn. We're finite and he is infinite. We can never plumb the depths of the riches of the knowledge found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word incarnate. All that power, all that knowledge, all that wisdom is entrusted to our God. That's who he is. And he wants to share that wisdom, that understanding with us. He wants to give freely to us so we can experience and have a personal relationship with him beyond just saying, "Lord, I believe in you. I accept you as my Savior." He wants us to partake of the exceeding great and precious promises he's given to us. Now, we all have very close and intimate familiarity, if you will, with the struggles we face today. There's such a difficulty in being quiet and relaxing today, of truly entering into absolute peace and quiet within our souls, because there could be just havoc occurring around you. But someone who knows their God, who is able to do what these scriptures are telling us to do, can be unmoved. Oh, they may have to deal with emergencies, with issues, but within there is an absolute peace. There is a rest that he wants us to enter into that nothing can dismay or disturb us. God wants us to enjoy peace and rest, to be calm and relaxed. Verses 9 and 10 state, "There remaineth Therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, this is the key, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So, before the fall of man, God's plan was to provide a place in which his children, in which we who are alive today, even in the midst of the hurry and bustle of the 21st century, could live in a continued state of peace and rest. And as a result of the curse, for the natural man, there's no such thing as that. There's no longer rest. There's no longer peace. It's constant chaos. It just varies in the degree and intensity of it. But in the lives in which we now live in our natural state, well, obviously, we have to earn our living, pursue a career, we have to study his word, we have to be disciplined, we have to obey the rules of God and man. And as a result, it's easy for us to become frustrated, to be upset, to be nervous, to feel pressured, to be, under the gun all the time. But the Bible tells us, as a child of God, he wants to bring us into a state of rest where nothing need disturb or dismay us. In verse 11, we're told, let us labor. That's a strong word. Let us labor. That's work. There's work involved there. Let me complete the phrase. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest that he's talking about. And obviously, that seems like a contradiction in terms to what we read in the preceding verses. No, but it does indicate something. Something. What is that? Something that there's something we have to do. Something on our part that has to be done. There's a turning, a commitment, a setting of the mind and will that determines, Lord, I hear what you're promising, and I am determined to experience and to enter into that rest. And of course, we must acknowledge and admit it's God who helps us to overcome our problems, but we must, quote, labor to enter into that rest. We can't make ourselves holy enough to go to church to live a Christian life. Isn't that true? Not just by exerting our willpower. Well, that's an important thing. We have to desire it. Not just in our minds. We have to do what is required. And sometimes it requires effort. It requires labor. And it may not be easy. But if we are to receive God's benefits, there are experiences, there are things we need to do. There's a labor involved. It could cost us time. Obviously, it will. Effort, money, whatever it takes. We have to determine, I don't care how busy our day is, how full your schedule, if you don't take some time every day, and God's not unreasonable, he knows what the things that you're facing, your responsibilities, your commitments, but you must make as a priority before God, that you are going to spend some time with him every day. The best time, of course, is to do it when you begin your day. But if that's not possible, well, do it at the end of the day. Make a time where, and the devil will try everything he can to intrude on that time, to take it from you. But God wants us to have a time where we can rest before him, where he can strengthen us, where he can speak to our heart, not only where we are to pray and lift needs, but we want to hear his heart. What does he desire for us? What does he want us to do today? We need to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit where he can lead and direct the activities of our day. He's not just interested, in the long haul. Well, I've set my face toward Zion, to the mountain of the Lord. That's wonderful. But we all need help day by day, right? We love the long, far-seeking goals. That's great. But we've got to need help in the here and now, sometimes hour by hour. And so that's what God desires for us. And obviously, there is something required. We need to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. We need to discipline ourselves. That's one thing I'm grateful for. I was 10 years in the world. I said I'd never be in a church again. But in my youthful years, we were, I mean, I went to a religious school and in a particular denomination, and I'm telling you, we learned submission, we learned discipline, might not have liked it at the time, but all the lessons learned then, it has held me in good stead. There are some wild-eyed charismatics and Pentecostals, they don't know a thing about discipline or submission. And beloved, if you don't learn those important truths, you'll fall by the wayside. You'll make effort after effort, try to do things, but there's a setting of the heart and will that you will do the things that are required. Proverbs talks about if you're a parent, if you love your children, you had better discipline them. You had better show them the right way to do things, not in harshness or cruelty, but in love. There, you know, if you really love your son, your daughter, you must discipline. The Proverbs talks about that. So that's what God does to us. And hopefully, if we will hear his words, if we'll hear the words of wisdom that Proverbs shares with us, then we won't have to, at least on a great level, experiencing the chastening of the Lord, because we will be submitting ourselves, we'll be disciplining ourselves. And there's just no way around it. We are going to have to reach out in faith. We'll have to be in a place that we believe it's God's will for us, this abundant life. We have to act it out. We have to thank God for it. All that's essential, but we're to mix our labor, our efforts with faith, knowing that he that called us is going to help us perform it. It is he that worketh in us. Listen to this, one of the greatest promises in the Bible, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown by, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me. The announcer is going to give our contact information, and as always, I invite you to write. This is a personal ministry. No one reads or answers the mail but yours truly, and I will send back to you whatever God gives for me. I write the letters, I answer the mail, and it's one of the joys of my life. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. If you choose the convenience of email, that's wonderful. I will always confirm receipt and pray, but if you'd like a personal answer, I ask you to share your mailing address so I can write to you also by letter. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.